You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and on your app. We KGO go wherever you go. Put it on your smartphone. Put it on your tablet. Put it on your iPad.
Here's Johnny.
That's right. Here he is. Oh, is this the cocktail scene? This is the cocktail lounge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jack's a very naughty boy in here. Yeah, he starts hallucinating. Drinking whiskey. Anyway, so he's having his bourbon. I love this story. Stanley Kubrick's daughter debunks the moon landing conspiracy theory. Now, this has been around ever since the first man was put on the moon. All right, internet legend would have you believe that filmmaker Stanley Kubrick, as well as directing, 2001 A Space Odyssey, Full Metal Jacket, and of course The Shining, aided the U.S. government in faking its own moon landing back in 1969. That's right, this has been going on for forever.
Here's Johnny.
No, the only place he is in that hotel. It wasn't until Kubrick's passing in 1999 that the Apollo 11 theory gained traction, which hasn't stopped the media from embracing it. Most recently, comedy film Moonwalkers weaved the idea into its plot. For those who are dismissing his daughter's efforts to debunk the theory, she does make an excellent point. She said, guess what, peeps? I actually knew him. I lived and worked with Stanley, so forgive my harshness when I state categorically the so-called truth, though these malicious cranks persist in forwarding, is manifestly a grotesque lie. Man did land on the moon, and no, Stanley Kubrick didn't help. This has been going on forever.
But what about Stanley the flag, Drex?
Yes, and the shadow and the visor and all of that. I love all that stuff. You can find those people, bring them on. I don't want to hear from them now. Speaking of fun things like The Shining, it appears that...
Here's Johnny!
...is happening at Fox News, but he goes by the name of Roger Ailes. here comes an alleged story. Former Fox News anchor Gretchen Carlson. I've been wondering where Gretchen Carlson's been.
On the side of a milk carton.
So she's gone. She's out. Is claiming that her ex-boss wrongfully fired her after she rebuffed years of unwanted advances. Ailes, the network's chairman and chief, he's the CEO, denied Carlson's allegations in a statement today. The parent company of Fox News, 21st Century Fox, and said it had begun an internal review of the matter. And I guess it should. Carlson, 50, claims in the lawsuit that Ailes, a former Republican political consultant who built the Fox News television empire into the most watched U.S. cable news network in the country, took her off the morning show, Fox and Friends, in 2013, then cut her pay because she refused to have a sexual relationship with him, and then she ended up in that 11 a.m. Pacific time spot, which would be 2 Eastern, all right? Lawsuits alleging sexual harassment typically name the employer as a defendant, but Carlson's lawyer, Nancy Erica Smith, said in an interview that she had no reason to believe that Fox condoned or authorized the behavior by Ailes. By the way, Ailes was a media consultant for several U.S. Republican Party presidents, including George Herbert Walker Bush. And Ailes called Carlson's allegations false. This is what he says. This is a retaliatory suit for the network's decision not to renew her contract, which was due to the fact that her disappointingly low ratings were dragging down the afternoon lineup.
Ouch.
Which, I'm going to say this, which may be true.
You weren't entertained?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I wasn't much of a regular viewer myself.
Yeah, she's no Christine Amanpour, and she's no Megyn Kelly. She's just not. I don't know if any of this is true. If it's true, then it's horrible, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Well, they cut her pay after she refused to have a sexual relationship with him. That's grounds for a lawsuit.
Allegedly.
Right there. Yeah, if that happened, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. And by the way, if you've been wondering where Neil Cavuto is, love Neil Cavuto.
Yeah.
He had a heart attack a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Or heart disease, or he had some heart, operation. He's been out for 2 or 3 weeks now. Love Cavuto. But if you're a fan of Cavuto like I am, you know that he is constantly talking about fast food.
Well, maybe.
I mean, like McDonald's and stuff like that. And I keep thinking to myself, I thought he had diabetes or something. He has something. I don't know what it is. So don't quote me on that. This is, once again, alleging. I'm actually saying I don't know. But he has some kind of condition. But he apparently had heart problems.
Well, that's
been off
good.
For weeks now.
Yeah. Well, you remember Bill Clinton used to like Big Macs, and then he went vegan. So maybe that's in the future for Neil here.
He went vegan?
Oh, yeah.
For Hillary?
Well, for himself and for his health.
Oh, okay.
Here's Johnny!
Got to make a big move like that for yourself, Drex. You can't do it for just anybody else.
I love that we're talking about this. Let's just throw this in there. So Kelsey Grammer allegedly said today or yesterday that he's done with Alcoholics Anonymous and he's going to continue drinking. Thank you very much. Mind your own business. Thank you.
All right. I guess good for him.
No. I mean, you know, nobody says you have to.
And we all really just want to be left alone.
We all want to be left alone to our own devices. Let's talk about this for a second. And by the way, we're going to be discussing coming up here. This is a thing with former Goldman Sachs investment banker Sal Buscemi. I can't wait to get him on here. Financial robo-advisors. They're gaining traction. And would you trust your money with them? Now you're thinking to yourself, no, Drex, I don't want anything to do with this. But yet, if you've ever tried to get a hold, let's say you do play the stock market or you fool around with your money. For instance, here's a great example. On the day that Brexit dumped the stock market down 600 points, there were buys to be had. Could I get my broker on the phone? No, he's out playing golf somewhere. Sucks to be me.
Robot would be there.
Robo would be there. And I would have, wasted some of my money. But turns out I didn't. So it was good he was playing golf. But we'll discuss this coming up. I think it's a great topic. And then we have, during the 8 o'clock hour, Roger Morgan is the founding chairman of Stop Pot 2016. This will be great. He's completely, totally anti-pot.
He doesn't even like the whole medicinal use thing either.
That's fine.
He's not a huge fan.
Because I'm happy that you got him on the air, so thank you, Brian. But yesterday I was just trying to figure this out. From this article in Newsweek, oh my God, I swear to God, it's like freaking calculus trying to figure this article out. Between the California Growers Association, the CGA, then there's the Medical Marijuana Resolution and Safety Act, and then there's ALMA, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. All three of these organizations got together and basically went bat crap crazy.
It's like 50 Shades of Green.
Yeah, man. And this happened over the weekend. And basically, one of the organizations said, you know what? We don't know what we're doing. This needs to be tabled until 2020. And these are all pot growers. They're saying this is so screwed up the way this is going to be put on the ballot that we don't want anything to do with it. At least one of those organizations did.
Well, they better get ready for it because it's coming in a couple of months.
Well, here's my question. You're a news guy. What happened to Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom's Blue Ribbon Commission?
They went around the state and they held meetings around the state about, you know, what would work for the people of California. And they came back and he's actually backing this initiative.
I understand. But see, when you have three of these organizations who are pro-pot fighting amongst themselves, tells me something's not right.
Well,
something's not kosher.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are a little worried because the former Facebook president, Sean Parker, who invented Napster, is involved.
Oh, so they're afraid of big money coming in here.
So, yeah, they're afraid of big money kind of just taking it all over.
Well, we're going to talk to our man, Roger Morgan, at 8 o'clock, who is just totally against all of it. He's playing the part of Chris Christie. You get none. You get nothing. Nada. Nothing for you. All right, I've got one more minute. Good, I'll leave you with this. A shocking study claims men who chug too much cola, that's right, too much Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and other fizzy drinks can fizzle your penis. That's right, scientists revealed today they released this study that drinking 1 liter of the fizzy drink a day could reduce sperm count by a massive 30% and lead to erectile dysfunction. Boy, I got a lot of news in 15 minutes. That was good stuff. When I go through, roll through like 6 or 7 stories.
There you go.
I am informative, damn it.
You're on fire.
I am.
Here's Johnny.
And now here's Lee Graham.
Where San Francisco comes to share. The next generation of KGO 810. This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Oh, by the way, today is International Kissing Day. And by the way, you don't do duck lips anymore on your selfies. That, you know, that pucker thing. What is it called? Finger mouthing? Finger mouthing. Yeah, that's right. Like you're, yeah. Like you're Austin Powers. Or Dr. Evil. That one. Yeah, yes. That's the new thing now. So don't do that Kylie Jenner lip plucking thing or whatever that mess is, whatever. Pump. What was that? Pump?
Duck face?
No, yeah, that was duck face.
So duck face is out now.
It's out.
And it's now
completely
it's
out.
Finger mouthing is
finger
in.
Finger mouthing. So it can just be like, shh.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. That's supposed to be what's sexy.
Put your finger in front of your mouth. It also helps shape.
Or like Dr. Evil.
Frame
you know,
your
with
face.
A small finger. Yes, it does. It frames your
baby.
Face. Right. Okay. So, all right. Did you have a baby yet?
No. No, I definitely don't.
When's that happening?
I couldn't tell you. It hasn't even started
yet.
Well,
the in-laws were in town last week, weren't they?
Yeah, that's really helpful if you want to have babies. Right. Have the in-laws in town.
Well, they want to know where
have
their
the
grandparents are.
Visit.
Yeah, okay. So, Ellie, do I have that right? Ellie Kemper?
Yes.
No. Ellie Kemper.
There you
she
go.
Is the unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, all right? So, she did an interview with Willie Geist from the Today Show. And it doesn't matter who she is, but she's that celebrity. She shared that she's sick and tired of people. She's very pregnant. She's sick and tired of people touching her stomach without asking for her permission. It actually makes her really mad, and she takes great offense to it. So I wonder how you feel about this if you have been pregnant and people touch your stomach, 808-0810. I mean, they have the best of intentions, but let's face it, when you're pregnant, I'm pretty sure you're very hormonal, right? Okay, so what do you say, for instance, how did you feel when they touched your stomach and you didn't want to be touched? What did you say to people, 808-0810?
You know, when I'm holding a few extra pounds and I'm a little pudgy, I hate it when people, even my friends, like poke me in the stomach and they're, you know, just joking around and they're like, hey, Brian, what's going on down here? They expect me to go, like the Pillsbury Doughboy or something.
Your friends are gay and they're not talking about your stomach. All right, let's get to Ellie.
Oh.
Here we go. Here's Ellie. Here's what she has to say.
Now I'm showing, and I don't know what goes through a person's mind, a stranger's mind, no less, when they think, oh, yes, your stomach is something that now belongs to me and I can touch it. I mean, it's actually crazy. In a way, I think it's a nice reminder of humanity, but then I also, I go quickly back to the idea that you wouldn't do this if I weren't pregnant. It was very strange at first when I was, like, barely showing. Friends would touch my stomach. And I'm like, but there's nothing to touch.
Right.
It was just, like, odd. And then I felt I'm not a very touchy-feely person. So if someone touched me, I'm like, there's no space violation. But also, they were just, like, touching my digestion, you know. There was nothing quite there.
Okay, that's really well framed. So is that a, is that, like, a placement, thing? You don't go there?
Yeah, like, I wouldn't want to go there.
There's a baby Amanda. On top of it.
Right, I understand. Yeah, but is it a no-go area? 808-0810. I'm really curious about this because it's like a friendly thing to do. I mean, you know, I've had friends who were pregnant, but I knew them very well, and then I would touch their...
Yeah, I wouldn't walk up to a stranger and do anything.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't even walk up to a stranger and be like, hey, you're pregnant. Let me touch your belly.
Oh, my God.
What if she was like, no, I'm not pregnant. Get your hands off my belly.
Okay, 808-0810, area code 415-808-0810. While we get the phones, I'm going to tell you this horrible story. This is how Drex was an ass. So, at my previous employer, there was this pregnant lady. I knew she was pregnant, right? And she was in an office, right? So, she's very pregnant. And then they were having this conversation chat about in the office, and I just happened to roll in. And this other woman looked very pregnant, too. And I said, oh, my goodness, look how lovely this picture is. Two beautiful pregnant ladies. And the other lady says, I'm not pregnant!
Oh, no. Oh, no, you can never assume. Never assume.
Oh, my God. That was Scotty beat me up.
And you still had to work with her.
She was on the third floor, thank God. Third or fourth floor, I forget. Well, there, where I was working then, she was on a different floor, 27 or 28, but that was horrible. Then I had to apologize, and she was really mad. Okay, do people get to touch a woman's pregnant belly? And to the phones we go, 808-0810. We'll start with Eric in San Jose. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Jack. Yeah, I think it's kind of a space violation, and you take it a risk. I actually did that once to a lady at work. We had a pretty good rapport going, and we always joke around at work and sit at the same table and talk and stuff. And one day, I saw her after I had been out of the job site for a long time. I came back. I guess she gained weight, and I touched her belly and said, "Oh my God, what do you do?" And she was not pregnant.
And she was. That's as bad as what I did.
Yeah.
And the lady screamed at me, and I had to run.
Oh, you.
Yeah. What did she say to you?
She cussed at me and called me an a-hole.
Yeah.
And then got up and walked away teary-eyed.
Oh, God. I know. That's awful. Thank you very much for sharing. Well, at least you're honest. I mean, definitely teaches guys lessons. I mean, and I said it in the nicest, said, oh, look, two beautiful ladies, a beautiful setting, two beautiful ladies who are...
Well, the same thing happened to me, but it was an old senile woman, and I couldn't yell at her. She said...
She thought you were pregnant?
Yeah,
You're like a stick.
Little tiny me. You know, I'd eaten, like, a bunch of Chinese food on my break, and then I'd come back out into the public eye, and this woman and her mom are walking around, and the woman is much older and maybe a little senile. She looks at my belly, and I'm wearing a fitted shirt. She's like, oh, dear, what do you do? And her daughter just, like, drops, like, turns completely green.
But you didn't go crazy. You just had fun with it.
I didn't yell at her. No. I didn't yell at her. I couldn't. I got very silent, actually.
See, I mean, I probably for the last gentleman, Eric, who I just spoke to, and the woman that I made this stupid-ass comment to, she was just big. I mean, like, really big.
I was just bloated.
Like, it looked like she was 8 months pregnant, so I assumed that.
You should have just made up a due date, Amanda.
Kent and Hayward, you're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO.
Yeah, I think it's just an affront to personal space to walk up and touch a woman's stomach when she's pregnant. That assumes so much familiarity and intimacy. It's just effing rude and strange.
Yeah, it's great, and it's interesting to me that you're a dude and you feel so strongly about that, because and I'm sure a lot of women agree in a way. I think it's a nice reminder of humanity, so said Ellie Kemper. But then I quickly go back to the idea that you wouldn't do this if I weren't pregnant. And that's true. You would never go up to, well, unless perhaps if you were a big shot at Fox News. Apparently, allegedly, maybe. How's that stomach doing? You had to listen earlier for that.
I think
story.
He was interested in other things.
With Gretchen Carlson filing. Gretchen Carlson from Fox News filing a lawsuit against Roger Ailes for
she
sexual
could have
harassment.
A little belly under there.
No, I don't think so.
You sure? She wears coats, little button ups. There could be a little.
I don't know what she wears. She's not on anymore, and I'm just fine with that. Okay. But I am waiting for Neil Cavuto to come back. I mean, I hope something bad doesn't happen. But you know that if you ever noticed, if you watch Fox News with Neil Cavuto, you never see him standing. He always has that, like, high desk up here.
Oh, okay.
So that...
They don't make him wear a skirt like they do with all the ladies in the morning over there?
Not Neil.
You wouldn't want to see that?
Neil
in a kilt?
No, Neil in a kilt. Hey, let's talk to our millennial, Amanda, next about you're a millennial and your generation sucks.
Sucks.
I gave her a choice. She didn't have to do it. We'll talk about that next coming up. But first, with a look at traffic and his problems.
Depends on how you look at
it. And his personal problems with his celibacy. Here's Lee Graham with a look at traffic.
It all depends on how you look at it.
I don't know how to look at it. I don't know.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show.
On KGO 810.
Here's Sir Patrick Stewart. That's right. Singing cowboy songs.
Lives and Times Records and Tapes proudly presents Sir Patrick Stewart's Cowboy Classics.
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Though the streams are swollen. Keep them doggies rolling. Rawhide.
Long known as England's premier cowboy singer, Sir Stewart now brings his music stateside in this amazing collection.
Let's famoose where gals keep using those silks and satins and linen that shows. And you're all mine in buttons and bows.
Sometimes it takes an Englishman to teach us what's great about being an American.
Oh, give me land, lots of land, and the starry skies above. Don't fence me in.
This double album has the 27 smash singles that have made Patrick Stewart Britain's most beloved cowboy crooner.
Cowboy all wrapped in white linen, wrapped in white linen and cold as the clay.
I don't know what that's all about, but allegedly it's supposed to be raising money for some humanitarian group called the International Rescue Committee. I don't know what that's going to raise. But anyway, is he still Captain Kirk? He's not anymore, is he?
No, that show's been off the air for a while now.
Oh, I thought he was in the movie.
Well, I mean, people still associate that with him, though.
Okay, because 16 more days until Star Trek Beyond. Okay.
Very cool.
We're going to talk about millennials now and why they suck, because I have one in front of me, and she doesn't suck. So I found this story yesterday. She goes to San Francisco State. She is my intern. And I thought, oh, I'll just save this for Amanda and see if she bites. She bit. Okay, so let's start at the top. Millennials are the worst. I should know I am one. So you are one.
I am a millennial, and they are the worst.
Why would you sell out your own generation like that?
I think it's really like, a lot of it's the phone thing. A lot of it's the phone thing.
The phone, fear of missing out?
Well, oh, that's...
The FOMO.
FOMO, yeah. Well...
What are you talking about, foam?
That's, okay, both things. No, not foam. Like cell phones.
Oh, cell phones.
The things that don't come out of your hand.
Right. Gadgets, smartphones. Yes.
Gadgets. Yeah. And no. They don't even use gadgets. Like my cool 40-year-old friends use gadgets. Like they have watches on their hands and these earphones and stuff that do stuff. But millennials are just...
Bluetooth, yes.
Yeah, totally.
They're old.
And it's like all connected down the side of their neck.
Yeah, it looks bad.
It's crazy looking.
I know, but that's not your generation's
fault. Right, millennials are so stuck on iPhones and only iPhones.
Yes.
It's sad.
Yeah. I saw, it's really interesting. This happened several months ago. There was, President Obama stopped at some... I don't know, 10th grade school or something, and there were probably 150 kids lined up to take his picture as he rolled down. Every single one of them had an iPhone. I thought, oh my God, does Apple have the corner on this market or what?
Completely.
Yeah. So it says here, you will forever be lumped into a smug pack of narcissists.
Oh, I would like to think that. Well, we love each other a little bit.
I think so, too.
We did bring music festivals back.
Yes, you did, along with Molly.
Where's Molly, guys? Where's Molly?
We used to call it ecstasy. You guys just gave it another name.
Yeah, she's always missing.
She's always missing.
We're always looking for Molly.
Yeah, where's Molly? 808-0810. By the way, if you want to join in, if you have a millennial in your family or you are one, feel free. 415-808-0810. So let's see here. What about working with your colleagues, your boomers and myself, Generation Drexers.
I'm okay with working with older people because they have social abilities. I feel like younger people, if you don't put them in the, you know, the startup tech game or something they can super bro out about, you know, whether they have a...
Love that.
They do. Good. If they don't play like some sort of sport on the weekend with all their coworkers, or, you know, have a trail mix coming up the spout.
Oh, okay, so all the millennials, what you're saying, they're almost forced to get into these group gatherings over the weekend.
Totally.
Are they want to, or are they forced into it?
I think they want to. I mean, I think last week we ran a story about millennials craving board games. You know, we really crave to play a card game or something.
You know what you need? Giant Jenga. I just
bought it. Oh, I love giant Jenga.
Oh my God, you need giant Jenga too, people, because I just found it and I bought it for a buddy of mine. It's $100, but it's well worth it. They're like the size of 2x4s in your house. So when it falls down, you could actually knock somebody out. Or worse. Just sidebar there. So, yes, so you're all Sandernistas.
Sandernistas is a nice way to say it. Yeah. Yeah, everyone pretty much was. Like, watching the election on my Facebook feed was so boring because it was all Bernie. There was not very many opposing views, and I think that's because everyone, you know, they fit their views into one synonymous conversation. Everyone wants to talk about Bernie, and if you're not talking about Bernie, we don't have time to talk to you. Okay. Delete.
Okay, Sandernistas. Well, observe this. So I voted for Bernie, but it turns out that your Bernie Sanders millennial friends didn't turn out to vote. So therefore, in the state of California, Hillary got 60% of the vote, and Bernie only got 40.
They just posted memes and emojis.
Well, that doesn't count.
How did it feel being in that Bernie bubble and then suddenly having it burst on you on election day?
Wanted to cry a little.
Well, it was horrible, but did you vote?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did. I came in here with my sticker. Yeah, I had my sticker.
All right. I'll send Pat Thurston after you.
She congratulated me on the sticker. I worked with her that day.
Did she come down off of that trip yet, Karen? No. Well, it's over. She needs to move on. I'll help her with that.
They didn't vote.
So let me ask you now, as a millennial, where do you stand now? Are your friends going to vote for Hillary?
I think a lot of my friends dropped out of that conversation. It was hilarious how my feed changed in the 2 weeks after the election. Like, right before the election, it was like, go vote, Bernie. Like, go support these props, go do this. Like, people pushing to vote. And then Bernie lost. And there was all these people posting, there's still hope, there's still hope.
Well, he is going to have a platform at the convention.
Right, and he hasn't given up that platform.
No, nor has he conceded.
But a week after the There's Still Hope week, people were like,
well, there's no hope, there's no hope. By the way, if you're just joining us, Amanda is my millennial, and the topic is taken from the New York Post. I'm a millennial and my generation sucks. So I gave this to her, and I told her to highlight whatever she'd like me to discuss, and that's what I'm doing. So would you, now that you'll have to, vote for Hillary or Donald Trump?
Yeah, I know that I have to, but I also know, unlike many other of my millennials, that this election is historical. This election is...
Well, they all are, but this one is... It's really important.
It's really important because it really shows the mess that we have going on, like splitting people between these sides. And a lot of people don't realize that Bernie Sanders isn't the first of his kind.
No, by no means. Does it bother you, because you're in the KGO newsroom all the time working with me or Heather? So you probably know about what happened before the 4th, where the attorney general invited Bill Clinton into an airplane, and they had a half-hour conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you heard about that. Yeah. What'd you think about that? Sketchy.
And that's why I don't like this election.
General.
Yeah, it's this, following this whole election, like, the more I know about it, the more upset I am about it, because it's so far out of my hands. You know, whether or not they decide to put charges on Hillary.
No, they're not going to.
Exactly.
No,
they just announced that they weren't going to.
Comey said no.
That's not my choice.
Well, there will be no indictment. Do you wish that she would have been indicted?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Totally.
That way Bernie Sanders could have run.
No.
Or Joe Biden.
It's not even, right. It's not even about Bernie Sanders anymore. It's more about, like, we've been pinned with these two candidates
I agree with you, yeah.
No one quite likes. Like, people are either really, really gung-ho for them or not quite at all. And the millennials have just dropped out. Millennials are just like, all right, I'm over this.
See, this, and you know, this is what's going to really hurt Hillary, because Middle America Yeah, the white uptighties, the whiteies and uptighties, they're going to vote, and they're going to vote for Donald Trump.
Totally.
Yeah, and then those people like yourself who were Sandinistas, they're probably not going to vote at all because they refuse to vote for Hillary.
Yeah, a lot of people don't want to vote for Hillary because she doesn't support.
The apocalypse is near then.
Well, if millennials make up most of the workforce, then yeah. Totally. We're ready. We were trained. We've been trained with zombie TV for like a decade.
What is that? A whole generation built on zombies. My God. 808-0810. This is such a fun conversation. So we're discussing the fact that the article was titled, I'm a millennial and my generation sucks. Amanda is one. But she doesn't suck. So we'll take a break. And if you have any comments or questions for her about this topic, 415-808-0810. With a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham.
KGO 810 traffic. Listen and engage. The Drex Radio Show. Weeknights 7 to 10 on KGO 810.
We're not smoking pot at the top of the hour. We're going to be talking about the fact that you will not be smoking pot at the top of the hour. Roger Morgan is the founding chairman of Stop Pot 2016, and he's going to be our guest. And it'll be interesting because, as I said, over the weekend, you know, all of this pot industry infighting just complicates the California vote. And what a mess it was. All right, so let's go back to our topic at hand, and we're talking about millennials. I'm a millennial, and my generation sucks. And I'm up to here with talking about millennials, but I read this article, and I thought this is so good because I have a millennial who was my intern. She goes to San Francisco State. Her name is Amanda, and I thought, well, I'll let her have this. If she finds things that she likes, then we'll talk about it. So she did. Let's talk about. Let me see here. Old souls, 26 going on 76.
Ugh, I feel like that all the time.
That's a good thing, I think. I think that's a good trait.
I kind of enjoy it at this point in my life.
Right.
I mean, my mom always told me when I was six, I would still sit with the adults and pretend to know what they were talking about because I was too cool for the kids.
There's a really weird dichotomy that goes on with people, and there are people like yourself, and I think I'm an old soul, too, if you believe all of that stuff, but people who like to hang out with older folks, and I always have my entire life, and then there are people who are afraid to hang out with older folks because they think it makes them feel older, which I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, I've had friends who, I remember we were traveling around for a period of time, and there was an older group that was also traveling around going to the same places, but they separated themselves, you know, the older group from the younger group. And the older group loved me because I would go over there and...
They're fun.
They're so fun.
Yeah.
They were super fun. And I had great conversations with them. And, like, you know, it's not like they're any different than any one of us. We've all done stupid things at one point.
And now that you're old enough, they'll tell you exactly the dumb things that they did do, which is...
Well, they don't discourage me from doing them because they also understand, like, hey, if you stay sheltered your whole life, like millennials, you'll never have the experience.
Do you think that millennials are sheltering themselves? And, you know, everybody talks about, you know, the cliches. They can't socialize. They can type into their phone, but they're not capable of having a conversation.
Oh, completely. Completely. And I think that
goes... But you don't think that's cliche?
No, and I think it's worldwide. Like, I really think that putting a phone in kids' hands and allowing them to grow up with it has changed, you know, the whole demeanor. Like, now it's no longer I'm an introvert, you know. I sit quietly at dinner because I have to. But now you don't even have to look anybody in the eye. You sit there with your phone, and you're in a whole nother dimension at that point. Yeah, people are totally socially awkward. Like, I find that problem solving is a lot harder when I'm working with colleagues my own age because people just aren't putting their problems on the table.
About a year ago, I had an intern from San Francisco State who will remain nameless, but he went on to be a teacher, I suppose. At least he was studying to be. But he would write me emails, and there were so many misspellings and grammar mistakes. I was thinking, dude, seriously, what are you gonna teach?
Well, and that's funny. Like, if millennials do stay in their phone that much, you would think.
But on the other hand, I would think that your phone with autocorrect what difference does it make anyway? I mean, we use Grammarly all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think my ability to spell has completely gone away because...
Of autocorrect.
Of autocorrect.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
I can't even spell the word millennial. I can't.
No, I can see where that's a problem, yes.
Do you know how many L's are in that word?
Can you write longhand?
I write in like half cursive as it is.
Oh, okay.
And I know how to write in cursive.
Oh, okay. So you can do longhand.
Completely. I know that little chk is an R.
All right.
People can't read my R's.
Neither than my handwriting.
Do you write longhand? Because the only time I really do it, but I can still do it, is, you know, when I'm writing a check where you write out $1,000, you write $1,000.
And you sign your name real neat?
No, I sign it like the mess, like I've always signed it. Listen, nobody can rip off my name. Is that how you sign your name here also?
Yeah, that's an F.
It's very wavy. All right. Yours just looks like a big old D.
Looks like a belly button.
So let's see what
with
else.
The hair grown off of it.
Oh,
just
stop.
One.
Stop. So you, beyond the screen, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, what else is there?
The whole dysfunction. I feel like we're looking at the screen, so we compare ourselves to the screen.
The tale of two Amandas.
The tale
of two Amandas.
Two Amandas, yeah. Yeah, I imagine there's probably like five Amandas.
So do you, this is great. So do you think that most millennials have multiple personalities?
Yes.
That's really interesting. Remember how the whole country came down on Roseanne Barr when, she got into this whole thing where I have multiple personalities?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and... The shrinks and psychologists and psychiatrists were jumping all over her.
It's a real thing.
But now it's valid because, for instance, each account, you could be on Tumblr and be one person, Twitter another, Instagram another, LinkedIn another, YouTube another.
Well, yeah, you create your online personas. Like, my favorite is Instagram, their name will be ex-mommy.
Okay, why is Instagram outpacing Twitter?
Because
for people your age,
you can talk through. It's streamlined. You just scroll. You just scroll and scroll and scroll, and you can search whatever you want. But really, it's just like the endless scroll feed with Twitter. Like if you're not, I don't know, Twitter, you have to type things. And going back to the antisocial thing, you have to type things. And if you're not good at being on the spot like that, you can't actually feed into Twitter. You can only enjoy it.
As a millennial, is Facebook over?
No, I love Facebook.
Okay.
I hate Twitter. I love Facebook.
As a millennial, is Twitter over?
No.
As a millennial, how's Snapchat doing?
It's like so entertaining.
It is, but isn't it a full-time job that you have to do my story all the time?
Completely.
Yeah.
And I'm
Don't
thinking
you feel
about...
an obligation to that, and it drives me insane, and I just can't keep up.
Insane. It's constantly running on my phone.
Right.
Even when I'm not using it.
Yes. I'm not draining your battery, yes, but I mean draining my mind. Like I have to keep putting my story up. But my story is the same thing. I'm sitting on the sofa watching television.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much what we do. Yeah. The other day I got a Snapchat of Bob Ross.
Okay.
On Netflix.
Cool.
Doing and now we're going to do a happy little dance in the corner over here. And he was painting the sun. And I got that on Snapchat, and I felt really accomplished.
That's fun. All right. Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Do you follow the Kardashians? Are you into the Kanye scene?
I have to look at them sometimes.
I know. It's an addiction.
Only sometimes.
Brian.
Hang on. I'm sending a Snapchat of myself. I'm going to do the duck face.
No, it's not the duck face. It's finger mouth. Put your finger up there. More of the Drex Radio Show on the way on KGO 810.